This is The Playbook.
I have a special David for you. It's the double David version of Playbook. It's David Sharp with David Meltzer. He's the founder and CEO of Legendary Marketer. Welcome to The Playbook, David.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How are you, man?
I'm great. You know, I had to have my kids do research on you because number one, you were one of the most requested. We've had Sad Guru on this thing, right? We've had Danica, we've had Cameron Diaz, 1400 of the biggest names. And yeah. I sent out a survey and you were one of the most requested people to be on The Playbook. And so indicates to me that you must know a playbook to success about things that people are interested in. And as we did more due diligence, you know, profitability, starting a business seemed to be at the forefront of people's minds, especially with the accelerated changes that we've had. But you don't come from the typical Wharton background.
No, I'm
a recovering junkie. Where you come from?
I'm a recovering junkie, high school dropout, teenage father. I got the, what do they call that? Is that your resume? I got a resume. I got clean in 2008 after a couple of attempts. I was an opiate addict before it was cool to be an opiate addict. Saw a lot of my friends, you know, pass away, and I'm lucky that I wasn't one of them. You know what I mean? Before it came mainstream and started to become, an issue all across America, or at least be more kind of talked about, you know what I mean? Drug addiction, mental illness, these are all things that are becoming more socially acceptable. People are able to talk about them more comfortably now. Mostly I think because we all realize that it's a little bit closer than we thought it was, you know, it's not us. It might be a family member. So, you know, I got clean in 2008, worked construction with my dad, kind of asked him to help me save my life and get back on my feet. And I met my wife while I was still living in a house with my dad. And she helped me buy a laptop. I was doing MLMs and a bunch of other stuff, chasing friends and family, putting signs in my yard, putting magnets on my old truck, you know, that I started with a screwdriver and had to hit the solenoid. Sparks would fly, you know, but I tried all the old school stuff. I tried the signs in the yard. I still got one of my favorite props, a box full of business cards that I, because I thought I was slick, I'd stop at, you know, passing them out because I was too broke to keep ordering more. And so I started collecting them. And so I said, hey, I'll really, you know, I got people now. I never made a single sale. And what it did for me was when I came on the internet, and I was probably on the internet doing something I wasn't supposed to do, but I mean, eventually I stumbled and fumbled upon some people making money doing similar things that I was doing network marketing. Some were selling other products as affiliates. And I said, what is this? And sort of the collecting of information via the business cards kind of like set me up to learn how to use tools like an email autoresponder, a simple email autoresponder, which every business should have. So, you know, when you have a sale or when you have a promotion, or so you can follow up with the customers who don't buy, which are the majority of people who you interact, you know, first, second, third, sometimes they say seven exposure. I don't know if that's real, but I know that it ain't on the first one because they're still sizing you up. And so that's kind of how I got started. And eventually the high school dropout turned into the e-learning guy because I took the skills that I was learning. I wasn't an expert in anything. You know, I wasn't an expert. I was an expert at screwing up my life, but I learned marketing strategies and what were secrets to others, but they were becoming familiar to me. And what I started to do before the whole e-learning craze, this was back in 2009, 2010, I started to package my information in, you know, video courses, downloadable PDFs, things of that nature, and sell them at different price points, depending on how much access there was to me. So if it was kind of done with you, or I was giving you a manual, a course, or an ebook, or something like that, I would charge a couple of $100. If I was doing it in a group, maybe like an event or something, even a virtual event, I might charge $1,000. If I was doing coaching, I might be able to charge $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, which eventually led to this concept called the Core Four that I teach here at Legendary Marketer. which is kind of the four ways you can sell information online, which is courses, coaching, events, or you could be somebody's affiliate. And I think you're familiar with that business model as well. We're all doing it now. And I'm just, you know, somehow was lucky enough, the stars aligned, had the right motivation at the right time to learn this skill and have been making money from it now for what seems like a long time, man, but it's been about a decade.
And before I get into kind of the magic side of it, which is counterintuitive, I need to recognize one thing. You told the story about the autoresponder. I always tell people, you know, they did at Home Depot. Arthur Blank and I have done business together since my sports background. It was amazing that out of all the checkouts, four different checkouts, garden, contractor, consumer, and auto, that the number one salesperson for the warranties for, you know, the equipment and appliances and tools was the auto, because it asked every time, would you like a warranty? Right. And without any prejudgment, and it outsold contractors, consumer, and garden combined just because it asked. Now, a lot of people, and you and I both have struggled, and in 2008 seems to be a turning point for both of us as I lost over $100 million, had to take stock in who I was. You, like I, believe there's no magic. There's no magic pill. Ironically, you were taking pills, but there's no magic pill. And we believe in consistent commitment in a trajectory of what we want. In that evolution since 2008, consistency in a trajectory towards what you want, how has that played a role in your teachings of affiliate marketing, digital courses, coaching, consulting, and events and masterminds?
Yeah. So following through with something, I interview a client every day, 5 days a week. This is one of the things that I did that has been a consistent piece of my business that has helped tremendously. And it was when I was trying to transition from sort of a content creator to sort of like a CEO, and from not just a course creator who was uploading videos to wherever, but somebody who was building a sales team, somebody who was building a marketing team, somebody who was building an education team. I was like, okay, where do I create content consistently so I'm not a hypocrite, so I'm still doing what I'm teaching? And so when the pandemic hit in March of 2020, I remember sitting with my CMO, Matt, and we were already doing like a daily show, but it wasn't me. And so it was like our students and maybe one of our staff members or a community manager or something. And I decided with Matt's encouragement to do it every day, to host it every day. And so you've done, you say, 1500-ish interviews. I've interviewed one of my clients every single weekday. So I've done now, I've got my video guy here, Jalen. He reminded me that I've done almost 600 or so the other day. So that consistent action in my business has, at this point, even though I'm 10 years into my career, it's kind of re-cemented this principle that you brought up, which is consistent action leads to big things. And this year, you know, we made the Inc. 5000 list. We were the 63rd fastest growing privately held education company in America. And one of the big things that we were able to talk about was this kind of marketing piece. One of the things that I think helps us convert customers is that content creation. So it all came from, you know, like that consistent, okay, I'm going to do this every day and it's not going to feel like I'm getting anywhere, or I'm going to have low view counts at the beginning, or it's going to feel awkward, or, but. And then just do it anyways. And I talked about this on my show this morning. Actually, one of my clients brought it up, that we underestimate what we can achieve in like a year or two, and we overestimate what we can achieve in like a month or two. And I see this with clients all the time. Get in, and it's like, we get, you know, if we're not getting mad about the results that we're not getting from the work that we're not doing, because there's always that group, and I've been that guy too at times, then we're just not giving it time. This process of business, I was just listening to Warren Buffett, which I love, and him and Charlie Munger, his partner, these guys are in their late 90s, and they're talking about long term, playing the long game. I mean, here's guys who are at the end of the road. They're going to die soon. And they're talking about how like publicly traded companies should eliminate quarterly earnings calls and in earnings guidance because it puts the wrong pressure on the CEOs and the company and play more of the long game. And just I'm reminded of that kind of all the time. And that would be an example of a way that I've been consistent in the last couple of years that has massively snowballed and compounded our growth and our success from just like a small, and David, it's helped a guy like me who is bad with structure, is bad with time management and all these kind of things. Like I've been very successful, but it's because I've worked within, you know, disciplines or kind of like my wife and I, we have the same schedule every single week. I'm not traveling around the world. I thought that's who I wanted to be as an entrepreneur, spreading, you know, being the man out. And it was like, I would have self-sabotaged. My wife was the greatest thing that ever happened to me because she helped me to kind of learn how consistency, how discipline, how structure, how having a schedule, that's what a CEO does, not be all over the place, you know, never know when he's going to pop up. And that spilled over, David, into my fatherhood and stuff like that as well.
And I've had a similar experience. One of the things that I've learned is you talked about aggregate effect, compound interest that Munger and Buffett always have taught me throughout the years, that I made an enlightened decision about inner peace. That I believe that without inner peace, without living at ease, we can't have the patience or the vision or awareness required to allow things to aggregate, to allow things to compound. And behaviors compound, as we know, both of us who had bad behaviors when we were young. And, you know, unlike the good behaviors, we want, you know, instant results. Bad behaviors, they have the same, it takes the same amount of time for them to manifest themselves or materialize. The problem is we don't think that they're going to have a result, the bad behaviors. And then it's too goddamn late. 2008 comes and we're like, oh shit, I'm going to be dead. And that can really be an awakening. How important is the personal growth, awareness, the inner peace to being able to be patient enough to live long, to think long, to have that long trajectory of business and personal life?
Well, those things are important, but I didn't know what they meant. Those were all just buzzwords that gurus and I heard people talk about. And I always felt that I was doing something wrong, you know, because, and that's what I think the challenge that the sort of unregulated wild, wild west internet, we fall into, you know, toxic people circles, and they make us feel like we're just not doing it right. If we pay more money, we come to the next seminar, we come to the do this, do that. And it's like, what I've realized is that, and this is what I try to talk to my clients about, is that I don't want to be your guru. I don't want to be the person who completes you, who I want to help you to realize that you have everything that you need already inside of you. And that what most likely you need to do is untrain yourself, unlearn, give back generational shame and trauma, and sort of clear ourselves away to where we can actually find out what is important to me. What do I like? What are my strengths? And then it's important to find safe people to go and to consult with. Everybody doesn't have our best interest in mind. And so nowadays with all these social media tools, everybody, you know, we're putting all our stuff out there. We're watching everybody else. It's making us second guess ourselves. It's been so valuable to me to not only have coaches and mentors in business, but also to hire therapists, to go to the right person for the right thing. Right. And not expect that my business coach or this person who taught me marketing is also going to teach me how to break through deep traumas or deep limiting beliefs that may have been with me since my early childhood. And so I'm lucky. I was forced by the court system because I was a young junkie who had a lot of issues that I was dealing with as a young person into the system, which forced me into kind of 12-step recovery programs. And I got all I was exposed to that stuff, not because I'm a better person, not because I'm smart or anything. It's just because I got lucky and blessed to be able to get a downward departure and not go to prison. I went to drug treatment instead. And so, I had to also learn how to do self-care, David, and that the hustle life and the grind life and just was not actually even what I wanted. It was just what I thought I wanted from watching everybody else out there on the internet. So, you know, man, I think it's a real process to really actually even find out who we are, what we like. And I think social media and stuff makes that more difficult. And the process of becoming an entrepreneur, me being a better entrepreneur, has been in direct result, in direct proportion to the amount of personal development, you know, therapy, that kind of stuff. And I just never knew that stuff was possible. I hid my story for a long time because I didn't hear anybody talking about the real shit that they were actually going through as entrepreneurs. They just made it seem like it was just, I wasn't meditating right, or I didn't have the right morning routine. You know what I mean?
It's so good. I remember early on, I'm old enough where, you know, this guy would tell me how, you know, he grew up in this, every deal he ever did was great. Went to Harvard Business School, law school, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd say, oh, I wish I had the same experience. I lost over $100 million and went bankrupt in 2008. Then it was like, I gave him permission to tell me how effed up his life was and how many failures, yeah, setbacks and mistakes that he made. Now, right, one of the reasons that I think so many people wanted you on the podcast is that there's these huge options, opportunities, and touches of favor in what I call the online middle class, whether it's your personal brand, your product, solution, or service, because of the online aspect. And I've been online since 92, right? When my mom told me the internet was a fad, and I decided after law school that I was going to get involved in legal research online. But today, there's actually, I believe, a missing attitude or perception of the middle class, that people have forgotten the power of people, meaning the power in the number of people. And, online courses, for example, you know, I'm working with Kajabi because I think too many people discount what 100 people on a $47 online course, right? Yeah. That turns into 200 and eventually turns into 1,000 a month can change a life. And that's minuscule numbers. It's minuscule middle-class numbers for the internet. Now, people right. don't know where to get started, how to do the business, but they also have false expectations. They think they need 1 million people in a course. And I'm trying to teach people, no, trust me. If you get 100 people a month on a $47 course, it's the best $4,700 you'll ever make. And then you can come up with a second one. Pretty soon you'll never, and your kids never will have to work again. What are some of the things in your 15-day online business builder challenge helps change or shift the perception to get people to get started and be okay with being in the middle class of the internet?
Well, the playing field has been completely and totally leveled. And that is because of the internet and, you know, how I no longer have to wait in your 4 year, 2 year, 4 year college, you know, e-learning program. Ironically, I have a meeting tomorrow with a university who wants to consult with me and our company on some of their digital marketing education. So, which I'm fully happy to help out with because it's a community and it's a university in my community. And I, quite frankly, some of my friends go there, or they did go there. So it's kind of a cool thing, you know? But you know, look, man, the first commission is the best one. You know, when you earn the first one, I got pictures of all my stuff, my original first commissions and everything. And, you know, just you want to treasure these, you know, you want to treasure these things You've disabled screen sharing, but I've got pictures of me when I'm working construction, and when I'm holding up, when I'm sitting at a computer, I'm looking at one here, I'm sitting at a computer with my nicotine patch on 10 years ago, I'm trying to quit smoking. And then here's another one, you know, I've got my, I'm holding up, you know, check. So look, I mean, this was 10, 11 years ago. If you'd have told me that I would have made or seen people earn what I've witnessed, I would have thought you were insane. You know, and it's just an exciting opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity because what a lot of people don't understand is there's a creator economy that's been created right under sort of everybody's noses. And what's so big and powerful about social media is the fact that all these massive companies right now are competing for us, the creators, to be on their platforms because they know that the customers, the users go where the creators are. So they're all trying to figure out ways to pay us. When TikTok came on the scene, David, it changed the game because no longer did you have to build a long form YouTube channel to make money. You now could put 15-second little videos where you don't even have to speak if you don't want to. You could just put the text and you're pointing and you're dancing and they're buying. David, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, look, I've been marketing online for over 10 years. I mean, I've done article spinning. I've done Facebook prospecting. I've done it all. And we're uploading videos where we're pointing and we're clicking and we're singing and we're dancing and they're buying like there's no tomorrow. It's just, it's unbelievable. You're talking to a guy who, you know, I still don't know how to sync my iPhone calendar on my computer and my phone, you know, how it's all supposed to work together. My shit doesn't work together. It's different on every device, but I still have somehow not only managed to do this, but also to show other people how to do it. And I would have succeeded the more I would have tried to overcome, or I would have failed the more I tried to overcomplicate it. But thankfully, along the way, you mentioned Kajabi. That was a great tool. There's lots of great tools out there. I know those guys. I've seen these platforms and these softwares being built, David, from when people thought it was a stupid idea. When people thought it was, I mean, there's a guy, Mr. Beast. I just heard this. I don't know if this is true, but he sold his YouTube channel or for $2 billion. Or maybe that was Blippi yesterday. Blippi. I mean, David, we are in times that are unprecedented. And, you know, you just have to make sure that when everybody, like Warren Buffett says, this is none of my information is mine. I'm just a sponge. Cause remember, I'm a ninth grade dropout. I don't know anything. I just have to listen and learn. And Warren said, when others are fearful, be greedy. And when others are greedy, be fearful. And it seems like ever since I got started, people have been fearful of this, of the tech, of this digital economy, of where it's going, what it's doing. And I even feel a little bit old right now because the metaverse, I feel like I get grandpa vibes because I'm like, I don't want to be walking around hanging out in some metaverse, you know, whatever. I want to be in reality, these goddamn young, you know. But the truth is that it's going to just, wherever we go, I believe the playing field is going to continue to stay level or get more level for the everyday person to be able to find a way to make money online. And you can take my 15-day challenge at the15daychallenge.com. It's a $7 course where you'll get way, and I don't have multiple stuff, by the way. I have a $7 challenge and I have business blueprints that I sell for $2,500 a piece that teach my core four business models, or I give you a special deal as you're going through the challenge. You can pick them all up for the price of one. But look, I believe in this with all my heart. I'm invested in this business and this business model and this way of life with every part of my being. I've now fully convinced my wife that this is real. Yeah. I mean, You know what I mean? She actually works with me. She's the director of events inside of our company. I mean, it's a dream come true. I live in a house that's right around the corner, or I work in a house that's right around the corner from the house that I live in. And forget the money, I'm able to be home and be with my kids. And that's what's important to people. What I realize, David, it's not about being a millionaire, even a billionaire. It's just about gaining some freedom and sort of unplugging from this one size fits all American dream that's for a lot of us turned out to be an American nightmare. That was a sound bite, brother, if I've ever heard one.
There's so many nuggets that will repurpose as we know how to utilize this. David Sharp, founder, CEO of Legendary Marketer. Check out those courses. Talk about, this is the time. I'm a little bit older. I'm actually almost at grandpa status. So I always tell people, taught by Warren Buffett, right? This is a time to distinguish between investing in yourself and expenses. And you may like your fancy car, but if you're not investing in things like the challenge, like your four courses, you will be kicking yourself a decade from now about the opportunities, options, and touches of favor that were available, because the playing field not only got leveled, but it expanded so far around the world that it included 7.6 billion people. And all you had to do was pick up a couple thousand of them and you'll never have to work again. You can't find outside of you what you can't find inside of you, is the lesson that I've learned. Be sharp. Follow David Sharp. He's amazing. I appreciate you, buddy. We got to do more together. Congratulations on your journey.
And hey, can I shout you out about the way that you do your marketing? You know, I love to be on shows and talk to people that are actually in the trenches and doing cool stuff. And we are moving. This is the future, everybody. So I'm going to give you the future, and then I'm going to say, just follow this David, because he's already doing it. The way that you angled your book, where you were like, you know, I'll send it to you, you don't even have to pay. Like, you just, the whole, you know, because there's been a big offer of free plus shipping. And like, you're just like willing to invest in your customer up front. Not only do you understand the metrics of a business, but it's just that goodwill building style marketing is, if you want to win in this, I believe in like 2023 and beyond, it's that, at least for the period of time for the next 12 to 18 months, it's about building relationships with people and investing in them before you ask for their money. Before you ask for their money, make sure that you're delivering value. And you were doing that in a really impressive way. And this was even before I came on your show and you even reached out. I saw your ad and the style of marketing that you were doing. I was like, this is a guy that I want to follow. So it's cool to be on.
Well, thank you, David. And David here, this is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. We're learning lessons every day from people who are living the lessons, not just teaching it, which is one of my favorite things, to think you're going to have a David Sharp course in a college. I always loved the colleges and law schools that rejected me and begged me to come speak. Same thing with David Sharp.